my dear Lydia. Isn't that not the most wonderful news you have heard? Married at 16. But there, what did I always say? Oh, I must get up. I must get up. What?
The good news quickly spread throughout the neighborhood, where it was born with decent philosophy. To be sure, it would have been more to the advantage of conversation if Miss Lydia Bennet had been cast upon the town or banished to some secluded farmhouse. But there was much to be gained from her marrying, and the spiteful old ladies of Meryton lost but little of their spirit because, with such a husband, her misery was considered certain. But no sentiment of shame gave a damp to Mrs. Bennet's triumph. Her thoughts and words now ran only on those matters concerning elegant ceremonies, such as fine muslins, new carriages, and servants.
I've been thinking Hay Park might do well for them if the Gouldings would only quit it. Or the big house at Stoke is the drawing room where they live. Don't go there, Mr. Bennet. And I say, do you not see them in a place such as Stoke, sir? There, he doesn't hear me. Your father's getting very hard of hearing these days, Lizzie.
He is trying to read, Mama.
Ashworth would be delightful, but it's too far off. I could not bear to have her 10 miles away, poor child. And she would not wish it, I'm sure. Purvis Lodge would be convenient in many ways, but the attics are quite dreadful.
My dear, before you take any or all these houses for your daughter, I think perhaps we should come to an understanding.
Oh, so you are awake then, Mr. Bennet.
I was merely about to say that I wish it to be understood that there is one house in the neighborhood where they will not have admittance.
Oh, Papa.
What do you mean, sir?
Exactly what I say. I will not encourage their imprudent behavior by receiving them at Longbourn. That is all.
But, Papa...
You'd turn her away? You'd deny your own daughter?
I would.
Oh, Papa, this argument is just foolish.
Before the whole neighborhood?
Even though Lady Lucas and Mrs. Long and all the ladies of the district were there on the doorstep to hear me do it.
Papa, please.
Oh, I've never heard anything so monstrous, so inhuman in my life.
And what is more, she shall have no money from me to buy wedding clothes.
What? You cannot mean it.
Not one guinea.
Then what is she to wear, sir? What is she to wear to the altar? Answer me that.
Papa?
She is presumably still clothed like the rest of us, my dear. Let her wear what she stands up in.
Such a man, Jane, you are my witness, to stand there and deny his own child. Oh, it cannot be, no, truly, it cannot be.
Please calm yourself, Mama.
You heard him, did you not? You heard
him. Calm yourself, Mama.
Now perhaps you'll see what I have suffered all these years. Now perhaps I shall get some sympathy at last. Oh, my poor Lydia, my poor sweet child. How cruel, how cruel!
No further discussion of the matter seemed possible for the time being, until, a few days later, a further communication arrived from Mr. Gardiner. Elizabeth, seeing her father take it with him unopened to his study, waited some moments to allow him time to digest its contents before entering. She found him seated in his chair, the open letter before him. Without a word, he handed it to her.
Well, Lizzie, what do you make of that?
It's probably good, at least, that they are to be moved to the north.
Yes, that is a mercy, I suppose. The farther north, the better, in my opinion.
It will mean that in their new society, the story will not be known. Lydia may start afresh. It is only to be hoped that she will make good use of the opportunity.
And if she makes bad use of it, as we both know she will, her follies will not be immediately on our doorstep. Yes, that is certainly so, my dear.
Father, I can understand your bitterness. But since we may not see either of them again for months or even years, might this not be the moment...
No, my love. If a thing is wrong, it is no less wrong in the north of England.
Oh, I agree. And I admire your stand upon a principle, Papa.
Oh, Oh, Lizzie. Lizzie, you of all people, to say that to me. Oh,
but I mean it, Papa. Truly I do.
Oh, Lizzie, dearest Lizzie. Do not perjure yourself further on my account, please. Tell your mother I will see them.
You will? Oh, Papa.
Oh, of course I'll see them. What right in the world have I not to see them?
Dear, good Papa. Do not move. I will go and tell her.
News that a ceremony had taken place was duly received. And then came the day that the couple were to return home. A day which Mrs. Bennet seemed to regard as one of unclouded joy and happiness, though her two elder daughters did not share her sentiments.
Poor Lydia. I cannot help feeling sorry for her.
Sorry for her? Why?
Well, I keep thinking to myself how I should be feeling if I were coming home to my family and friends in the same circumstances. What makes you smile, Lizzie?
Dear Jane, some other thought of you in Lydia's particular circumstances just will not do.
Oh, dear, it sounds as though they are come.
Oh, Lydia, oh, my love, my darling, oh, my precious dear, oh, God bless you.
George, you may kiss Mama, but not my sisters. Oh, don't look at this old bonnet, for goodness sake. I only wore it for travelling. Jane.
Lydia.
And Lizzie. Are you not green with envy, your little sister? George, you may come in and be presented to the family.
Miss Jane and Miss Elizabeth. We meet again, not just as friends this time, but as relations, eh?
How do you do, sir?
Is he not handsome, my Carlosberger? Is he not the handsomest thing you ever saw in your lives? You may look at him from a distance if you wish, but that is all. Mama, how do you like my coat?
Oh, my darling, my love, turn round.
Is it not rather fine? Don't you think rather elegant?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes.
It wants taking in a little here, perhaps, but only a trifle. And Papa? Where is Papa?
There, goodness, how like him, Kitty, dear. Run and tell your father they are come. Tell him to hurry. Oh, here he is.
Father, did you not hear us arrive? I thought we had made enough noise to waken the dead almost.
Yes, I heard you, my dear.
Does she not look fine, Mr. Bennet? Oh, are you not proud of her?
May I present myself, sir, since Lydia seems to have forgotten to do so.
How do you do, sir?
Well, this is a most happy occasion, is it not?
Is it, sir? Excuse me.
Oh, Father.
Lizzie, dear, I cannot lend myself to this nonsense. I'm very sorry.
Oh, Lydia, my darling, I could still scarce believe it. There, we must give a party. Invite all our friends, must we not, Mr. Bennet? Oh, where is he?
He has gone back to his study, Mama.
Back to his study? Oh, never mind. It's just as well, perhaps. Now, my dear, if you'd like to come up, Kitty, my love, tell Betty to carry the boxes upstairs, would you?
Oh, may I help?
No, she'll do it. Let her.
Which room are we to have, Mama?
The front room, of course, dear.
The guest room? Mm. Did you hear that? To think I shall sleep in the guest room before any of you. And poor Kitty must go on sleeping in the back room all by herself.
How furious she must be.
Lydia, dear.
Why? What have I said, Mama? Why do you look at me like that?
Oh, George doesn't care what I say, do you, George? Yes.
Well, Jane, I cannot help feeling that your concern on her behalf was just a little bit misplaced.
That evening after dinner, Mr. Bennet felt himself obliged to discuss matters of finance with his son-in-law concerning the marriage, while Mrs. Bennet enjoyed the company of her daughters in the drawing-room.
There, to think I should have displaced you at the head of the table, Jane. I'm sure I had no real thought of getting married when I went away. But I suppose in the bottom of my mind I felt it would be rather good fun if I was.
Jane, dear, are you and Lizzie quite comfortable over there?
Yes, Mama.
Perfectly, thank you.
Mama, do the people hereabouts know I'm married, do you think? Only we overtook William Goulding in his curricle as we came this morning. So I took off my glove and let my hand rest out of the window as we went by. You would have loved to have seen his face, truly you would.
Oh, my dear, I'm sure.
But now we are all together without the men.
What do you think of my husband? Am I not a lucky creature?
Never mind, you must all go to Brighton. Well, that is the place to get husbands. What a pity we didn't all go, Mama.
My dear, if I'd had my way, it would have been so, you may be sure. But, Lydia, my love, I do not at all like this plan of going north. Can nothing be done about it?
But, Mama, if the army sends
me... Besides, there's nothing to going up north. George says we shall like it of all things. You and Papa and the girls must come and see us, Mama. There are sure to be some balls and assemblies, and I'll guarantee to find them all good partners. In fact, if you leave them with me, I dare say I can find husbands for them all before the winter is out.
There, girls, what do you say to that?
Thank you, Lydia, but I'm afraid I don't greatly like your way of getting a husband.
Lizzie.
Poor Lizzie. I believe she's jealous. Take no notice, Mama. By the way, I never gave you a full account of my wedding, did I?
My dear, no. Do tell us.
Well, we were to be married at St. Clement's at 11 o'clock. And as the time drew near, I was quite distracted. My aunt Rookie talking and preaching to me as I tried to get myself dressed, and I declare I did not hear above one word in 10. I was so nervous that my uncle would not come in time, and that we should miss the hour and not be able to get married at all that day. But of course it was quite silly, because Mr. Darcy could just as easily have given me away, even if my uncle had not turned up.
Mr. Darcy?
Lydia. Well, yes, he appeared quite unexpectedly a few days before, and made himself known to George, who wasn't best pleased to see him, I can tell you. But as it turned out, it was quite fortunate, because he was obliged to discharge one or two sums he still owed George from the days of their childhood, which I must admit came in very useful.
Mr. Darcy owed money to Wickham? Nonsense.
Missy!
Well, of course it's nonsense, Mama.
In fact, I scarcely know if the wedding could have taken place at all without this little addition to our funds, for poor George had come away in such a hurry that he had not recently drawn on his bank, or something, so he said. I do not truly understand these matters. To be honest, I find all such matters extremely tedious.
You say Mr. Darcy gave Wickham money?
Yes, that's right. Which, as I said, came at the right moment as far as I was concerned, because I'd just seen the travelling mantle I wore this morning.
Lydia, dear, how fortunate.
And were you actually present when this transaction took place between your husband and Mr. Darcy?
No, I was not, thank goodness. I cannot stand such talk. All about bankers' drafts and credit and such like nonsense.
Nor I, my love. Your father likes to talk of such things sometimes, but I just will not listen.
Oh, he cannot be worse than Mr. Darcy, Mama. In my experience, he scarcely talks of anything else. Oh, goodness, what have I been saying? What have I done?
Why, my love, what is the matter?
I promised George I would say nothing of Darcy's visit. He wanted me to keep it a secret.
Why should he want it kept a secret?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, well, please say nothing, please, all of you.
My dear, of course we won't, will we, Jane?
If you have given your word, then of course we won't, Mama. We will forget the whole subject.
Well, I hope you will, because if you press me to tell you more, I certainly should in the end. For you all know how good I am at keeping a secret. Then George will be really angry.
Why? What more is there to tell?
Lizzie, don't pester her.
Ah, here come the gentlemen at last.
He gave me the most dreadful talking to as soon as we were upstairs. You've no idea how horrid he can be sometimes.
Well, well, what a charming domestic scene. May I dare to intrude myself upon you? Or would you prefer to remain on your own?
No, indeed, we should not, should we, girls?
Goodness, I should think not. I'm sure I can never wait for the gentleman to come back to the drawing room. Can you, Mama?
Jane, dear, just move up a little and make room for... Lizzie, where are you off to?
If you'll excuse me, Ma, I have some letters I must write. Please take no notice.
Dearest aunt, it is with the greatest surprise that I have just learned, quite by chance, that Mr. Darcy was among you in London on the occasion of Lydia's wedding. You may readily imagine how curious I am to know why a person quite unconnected with a family as he is should have taken the trouble to be so. Please write at once and tell me the facts, whether indeed it is true in the first place, unless there is some reason, as Lydia seems to suggest, why the whole matter should remain a secret. In which case, my dear aunt, I fear I shall be reduced to employing tactics and stratagems to find out. And I am sure you would not wish me to descend to such behavior. My dear niece, I have just received your letter, which I hasten to answer as fully as I can. Your uncle and I had no sooner reached London than we were surprised by receiving a visit from Mr. Darcy himself. He had already seen the runaways, and it was quite clear to him that Wickham, at least, had no intention of marriage. It was therefore necessary, in Mr. Darcy's opinion, that his objections should be overcome in the only manner likely to overcome them, the only question being by whom this change of heart was to be brought about. To be frank, who was to pay Wickham's debts for him? Both your uncle and Mr. Darcy wish to take this matter upon themselves. But, Lizzie, dear, if Mr. Darcy has a fault, it is certainly obstinacy. Your uncle was forced to yield, and instead of being allowed to help his niece, was obliged to put up with receiving the credit for not doing so, as Mr. Darcy insisted upon secrecy. May I just say in closing, dear Lizzie, how much I have come to like Mr. Darcy over these last days. His understanding and opinions all please me. He wants nothing but a little more liveliness, and that, if he marries prudently, his wife may well teach him. I must confess, I thought him a little sly, though, for he hardly once mentioned your name. Then slyness seems the fashion. But pray forgive me for presuming in this way, or at least do not punish me so far as to exclude me from Pemberley in the days to come. I shall never be happy until I have completed my tour of the park. A low phaeton with a nice little pair of ponies would be just the thing. Oh, but I must cease joking in this way.
Lydia, my dear, Mrs. Evans will know the best houses to go to for linen and calico and so on, and she will make it up for you.
Oh, la, Mama, she makes such horrid things as she did for poor Charlotte's trousseau. I do not want them, thank you.
Oh, Lydia, dear.
I declare I never saw such dowdy stuff. When poor Charlotte showed them to me, I could scarcely keep myself from laughing. I couldn't possibly appear before my caro sposo in such garments. I should die of shame.
Oh, well then, what do you suggest, dear?
One really has to go to London for one's linen these days, Mama. It's the only thing.
Excuse me, Mama. I thought perhaps Lizzie was here.
Lizzie? Oh, no, dear.
Oh, there was a package addressed to her by the mail this morning. I have not set eyes on her since it came.
She went across to the wood path not long since. I declare she must be out of her senses with the ground still so damp. She'll ruin her skirt. No, Mama, if you could persuade Papa to let us have the carriage one day for a trip to London, I guarantee you will be converted to my way of thinking.
Miss Elizabeth. Well, well, so there you are.
Oh, Mr. Wickham, you gave me quite a fright. I wondered whoever it could be coming this way at such a time.
But I interrupted your reading.
Oh, no, no, it is only a letter from my aunt. I had finished.
My dear sister, do you often seek such a damp and secluded place for your meditations?
Oh, not often, perhaps. But in my childhood, this was a favourite spot to hide in when I had a particular problem on my mind.
And might one ask if you have come here for the same reason now?
I am a little exercised on certain matters, yes.
But first of all, might I beg you to be a little less formal in your address? We are brother and sister now, don't forget.
By marriage, I suppose, yes.
So may we not use first names? It could hardly be considered out of order now, one would think. And I confess I long to hear you call me George.
Very well, sir. I will do my best. George. George. There, I have done so.
Is it so very difficult, then?
Well, it is not easy. It still sounds unfamiliar, shall we say.
Then by more frequent use it will become less so, will it not?
Yes, that is true.
May I sit down?
Of course.
There is room for us both, I think. Well, Lizzie, so you have actually seen Pemberley. Is that right?
I have.
I envy you the pleasure, though I fear it might be almost too much for me, with so many memories and disappointments. Did you pass through the village of Kimpton on your way?
I really do not remember why.
It was there that I was to receive the living. Oh. Yes, I might at this moment have been preparing a sermon for next Sunday. Does not that seem strange?
Yes. Taking into account all the circumstances, it certainly does.
And you saw Reynolds, I suppose, the old housekeeper.
It was she who conducted us round.
Really? She did not mention my name, I expect.
Most certainly she did.
Oh? And what did she say?
I forget her exact words, but her general meaning, as I understood it, was that you were an extremely charming and plausible youth.
I always had the feeling that she was really quite fond of me.
But that since growing up and entering the army, you had not improved.
Oh?
Oh, no doubt. This is just the partiality of an old friend who feels herself neglected by the turn of events.
Yes, obviously.
And do I understand you had a visit from Mr. Darcy while you were in London? That was surprisingly civil of him.
Who told you that?
This letter is from my aunt in London. She tells me the circumstances, or most of them. It was to read it alone that I came out here, George, I should say.
Yes, it is quite true. We did meet. What more has she told you?
Well, shall we stroll back? This seat is a little damp and it is getting quite chilly.
If you wish.
Thank you. Oh, I'm afraid it will rain again before long. We must not be too leisurely.
May I be permitted to ask what further information your aunt saw fit to pass on?
Oh, as to that, since we are now brother and sister, we each have a common interest, have we not, in a certain family discretion?
Yes. Yes, of course.
For my sister's sake alone, you may rest assured that however much one may deplore the circumstances, nothing more may be said.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Dear Lizzie, you are as kind as you are wise.
Please, sir, keep your compliments for your wife. Oh, there. I'm certain I felt a spot of rain. We must hurry home.
As the time for the newlywed couple to go north drew near, both Elizabeth and Jane felt an increasing sense of relief, shared quite openly by their father, though not, apparently, by Mrs. Bennet and the new Mrs. Wickham. When at last the morning of departure arrived, she made her entrance down the stairway into the hall, where her family were gathered, with both cheerfulness and composure.
There, does she not look lovely, does she not, eh?
Kitty, I shall not say goodbye to you, because you must come and stay with us the moment the house is ready. Must she not, George?
Of course. I hope to see all my newly acquired sisters in the very near future. And their mother.
And in the meantime, I've left you my white taffeta that you always wanted. You may have it.
What? The coffee stain down the bodice?
Well, that will come out with a little scrubbing. Well, dearest Papa, you are to be rid of me at last, it seems.
You think so, my dear? Then perhaps it is so. The matter rests entirely with yourself.
Well, sir, how can I thank you for all you've done?
Oh, that is easy, sir. By not requiring me to do any more. Lizzie, dear, has the carriage been brought round yet?
Oh, yes, Papa. It's been at the door some time.
Well, Mama? Oh, my dearest girl. Oh, when shall we meet again, I wonder?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. Not for some months, I suppose.
Oh, write to me often. I shall miss you.
Oh, as often as I can, Mama. Do you know me? I'm a wretched correspondent. Besides, now that I'm a married woman, I shall not have the time. My sisters may write to me, though, as much as they wish. They will have nothing else to do.
Mrs. Bennet, madam, may a son-in-law claim his privilege.
Oh, Lord, sir, you don't want to kiss me, surely, when there's Jane and Lizzie standing just by.
Mama, please.
Our turn may come another time, eh, Jane?
Come on, do. I cannot stand out here any longer.
Very well.
Oh, are they not a handsome pair, eh? Are you not proud of them, Mr. Bennet?
Oh, he's a fine enough fellow, my son-in-law. He simpers and smirks and makes love to us all. I'm prodigious proud of him, I can assure you. Even Sir William Lucas himself cannot boast of a son-in-law such as mine.
Goodbye!
Goodbye!
Goodbye! Goodbye.
Oh, dear, there's nothing so upsetting as parting with one's family.
No, my love.
I declare I feel quite wretched, Mr. Bennet. Where are you going?
I am retiring to my study, madam. And I wish it to be understood that I am not to be disturbed until my next daughter is married.
Oh.
Good morning to you.
The loss of her daughter made Mrs. Bennet very dejected for some time. A fact which soon reflected itself on the remainder of the family.
Mama, would you not enjoy a visit from Aunt Phillips? I'm sure she would be only too pleased to come.
My dear, I scarcely have the spirit for the moment. The house seems such a gloomy place without those two young people.
And you've seen nothing of Lady Lucas recently, Mama?
I have no desire to be told of the virtues of Mr. and Mrs. Collins yet once again, thank you, Jane, my dear. And when they may be waiting to step into this house at this very moment, if we did but know.
Mamma, they cannot in father's lifetime.
That's as may be, my dear. In my experience, there's no knowing how folk will behave once they know that an estate is entailed.
Oh, Mamma! Mamma, have you heard the news?
Oh, Kitty, dear, do please shut that door, the draught.
I heard it just now at the library. Mr. Bingley is coming back to Netherfield. There! Is that not news indeed?
Mr. Bingley? Oh, yes, dear.
Kitty, are you sure? Jane, did you hear that?
Yes, I heard.
Jane, are you unwell?
Oh, no. I just thought, if you don't mind, I'd go up to my room for a moment. That's all.